Hey guys, before we get started in this week's podcast, I want to answer some frequently asked questions that I get very, very often. And one of them has to do with my coaching. So I do offer private coaching. So if you are interested in working with me, my coaching program is a minimum of 6 weeks. The reason why we have a minimum is because it takes time to actually begin to heal your wounds and also not just heal, but really rebuild. Rebuilding takes time. It's not something tomorrow that you're going to wake up and say, okay, I'm healed from my past and I can move on to my new future and I have all the confidence in the world. I know how to have positive and healthy self-talk. I know how to handle when I go through a tough time or a stressful time, and I can take care of myself when I'm alone in all aspects. So learning all of that is a tall drink of water, and it does take time. So my coaching program is an investment. It is an investment in yourself. It is an investment in your happiness and your emotional and mental well-being. If you are interested in working with me, I always link everything within every single one of my podcasts, but you can also check me out at Stephanie Lynn, L-Y-N, lifecoaching.com. Hey guys, welcome back to Heal, Survive, and Thrive. I am so excited that you are here. Let's dive right into this week's topic. I feel like this topic, I don't see it often coming up, and it's the narcissist and stalking. So we're going to get into this and how it could possibly pertain to you. Obviously, this topic is very broad, very gray. You know, you could have someone that is really abusive and, you know, quite frankly, dangerous. And then you could have someone that you don't even know that they're even stalking you. But I want to get into all of this. Now, most people that have either ended a relationship with someone who's narcissistic or a friendship, I would say 99.9% of the time, they will admit that they saw in this relationship signs of emotional abuse. So they saw signs of, you know, narcissistic personality disorder. They saw signs of this person not being exactly the healthiest person to begin with. So we always see signs or traits of something that just doesn't seem right. Sometimes we can put our finger on it and sometimes we can't, but everyone, 99% of the time, is going to say that they saw things about this person that just didn't seem right. So let's get into what exactly stalking is. Stalking is basically monitoring a person. It is about unwanted attention or repeated attention that you don't want over and over again. I think sometimes when we think of stalking, we tend to think of like the creepy ex-boyfriend who shows up at your work or at your doorstep on a rainy night, you know, like those kind of movies. But really, stalking can just be a ton of different things. And so I want to get into that so you can see if this person is actually bothering you or if you have been stalked before and really just what to do about it. So a person will stalk someone because of this key word, control. When someone loses control over you or a situation, right, they have no control whether or not this relationship is ending or staying intact, they can begin to become obsessed in an unhealthy way. Now, chances are, if the person was already healthy, when a relationship ends or something happens, they can move through that experience in a normal, healthy way. Someone who wasn't healthy to begin with, and chances are you probably saw some signs of that, when they lose control over either you or the situation, you're going to see those unhealthy behaviors in the beginning. You're going to see them start to really manifest in this relationship or at the end of this relationship. Now, anyone who stalks, even if you are the person that's maybe stalking your ex on social media, the fact of the matter is they all have these things in common. They lack self-esteem. When you lack self-esteem, that means that you need outside things to make you feel good inside. So if I don't have a high level of self-esteem, then I need to feel good. I mean, we all need to feel good. We all need to feel those highs. And so if I can't do it for myself, then I'm expecting these outside things to do it for me. Now, a narcissist, they're obviously looking for what? Narcissistic supply. So they're looking for supply. They're looking for validation. They're looking for admiration. They're looking for someone to, you know, don't tell me, don't hold me accountable, don't make me responsible, I'm right, you're wrong. Just all of those kind of emotional abusive tactics that they tend to use or do on people. So because they're unhealthy, they're looking for this supply. Someone who's codependent is the same thing as a narcissist in the sense that they're looking for things to fill them up. Whereas a narcissist is a taker, a codependent is a giver. Now, when someone feels deserted or they don't have that supply, you know, in the West Wing, like just waiting for them, then they're going to kind of scrounge and try to find anything to give them that sense of control or give them that sense of validation. Now, if you were a person who was a really good source of supply and you just disappear now, you know, you end the relationship or you don't want anything to do with this person, then they're going to, again, remember, unhealthy behavior, even before this relationship started, you're going to see that unhealthy behavior begin to manifest because they're losing control over you in the situation. Now, when you end a relationship with someone who's narcissistic, and it doesn't matter if it's a friendship or a romantic relationship, and you were a good source of supply, and they don't have anyone to really come in and kind of replace you, you're going to cause a narcissistic injury. Now, we all know what these terms are, but if you don't, a narcissistic injury is basically where you wounded me. You've taken something that I really need, which is you. I need to have control over you. You are giving me all the things that I need in order to fill myself up inside, which is to give me self-esteem, right? To give me confidence, to give me affirmation. Admiration, to give me validation, to give me love, all of those things. And when you take that away and I don't have anything, you know, I don't have anything waiting to then fill me up and I don't know how to do it myself, I'm gonna get angry. Now, once that anger happens of I'm losing control, which is what an abuser wants, they want control, they can go into a couple of different directions. And here's where the stalking comes into play. They might try flying monkeys. Now, if you've heard these terms before, basically a flying monkey is someone who is going to come back to the abuser and relay all this information to them about you. You could call it an enabler, but I think a lot of times flying monkeys are people that kind of like assist the abuser in this way of like, hey, this is what Sue's actually doing right now. They don't really know that they're helping this abuser to get information regarding you. They don't know that they're kind of enabling this toxic behavior. They're just basically gossiping, right? It's basically like the person that goes in, finds out all the information, comes back and relays it to this person. And this flying monkey person could be anyone. What this person does, this flying monkey, is they're feeding this narcissist the information that they want to know about you. Because remember, information is a sense of control. If I know what you're doing, if I know what's going on with you, if I know whether or not you're happy or sad or struggling or whatever, then I feel good because I still have control over you because I still know how you feel. And in some ways, I can use that to maybe manipulate you to even get you back, or I could use it in some way to basically hurt you. Now, a narcissist will, or someone who's abusive, will be able to sleep well at night because what they have is basically someone assisting them in getting that information, but they're not actually getting the information themselves. So now, if you knew what was going on, you knew that Joe was telling your ex-boyfriend everything that's going on with you, and then you confront your ex-boyfriend, you're like, hey, like, Joe, why is Joe talking to you about me? Your ex will easily say, well, I don't care, Joe's just giving me this information, when really, your ex wants this information and was kind of grooming Joe, asking him questions to get more information on like what you're doing, where are you, how do you feel, have you moved on, are you happy, you know, etc. Now, if the flying monkey relays all this information back to your ex-partner or friend or whoever, and you're doing great and things are going good, you could actually cause your ex or the narcissist, whoever, to go into a narcissistic rage, which is basically them getting angry that you are doing so well and you took all of this away from me that I had, which was supply, and I don't have anything right now and I have nothing going on. They might become rageful, and this is where the real abuse starts to happen. It also reinforces that they don't have control over you anymore, and an abuser doesn't like that. Now, of course, because of the world we live in, we have social media, the lovely thing of social media, where anyone can view you and know exactly what's going on at any moment in time. We have IG stories, we have Facebook stories, we have lives, we have all of these things. So you, of course, would like to enjoy social media yourself and you know, look and see other profiles, and maybe you feel comfortable with having your profile on public. But in order to really embrace this thing called social media, you have to be okay with someone else looking at your profile and stalking you and knowing where you are and what you're doing at any moment in time, depending on how much information, obviously, you're trying to put out there. So social media is 100%, I would probably say the first thing, even above the flying monkey, that an abuser will go to find out anything they possibly can on you. And to me, the social media stalking is kind of like that covert way of stalking where no one knows you're obviously doing it. And especially if you want to go the next step further and create a fake account, And then follow someone that you're trying to stalk. That's another way. And I don't even know how trustworthy those apps are of trying to see like, oh, look, my ex was stalking me. I mean, who the heck knows? So I'd say best case, you put your profile on private. Don't do lives. We're not doing anything that anyone can see other than the small group of people that have access to your profile. And again, even in that small group, if you might suspect that you have some flying monkeys in there that could be relaying some information across, they need to be blocked as well. Now, social media stalking has like three things in common. You're really hitting someone's insecurities, you're hitting someone's ego, and you're hitting the fact that they no longer have control over you. So a lot of people will do the social media stalking because of control, because they want to see what's going on with the other person. They'll see what's going on with the other person. Their ego immediately gets hit with something like, oh, look, they're so happy. Oh, look, they're going out and doing this or whatever it is. And then here we go with the insecurity and the low self-esteem. So you see how it like trickles with social media stalking. Now, it doesn't matter if the narcissist is stalking you or if you're stalking someone else or if you have stalked someone else. Obviously, the point of this video is the narcissist is stalking you, but we've all looked at a profile at some point in time, whether it was someone that we used to be friends with or whatever. So I always say, just for the sake of this, even though this video isn't even about that, don't do anything unless it's going to actually help you. So for me, I never did that whole stalking thing because I knew that no matter what I saw, it wasn't going to make me feel good inside. So what was the point of even doing it? Now, if someone is stalking you, again, you have no control over it. You could, of course, maybe want the person to look at your profile, and so you make it public, and you're flaunting your happiness all over the world. But again, if you're healthy and whole and you're authentic and you're in a good space, you're not gonna be posting so many pictures about how you're living your best life. Just live your best life. Now, with all things narcissistic, everything is a game. Everything is a comparison. So if your profile on any platform is public and someone can see you, yep, you might be living what you think is your best life, but someone, especially someone who's narcissistic and really unhealthy and has low self-esteem and severe insecurities and a very, very fragile ego, they're going to look at your life, and even though you're living your best life ever, they're still going to compare their life to yours. And in some levels, they're going to feel better that they know that, yep, you're living your best life, but their life is still better. Remember, because all of this feeds that really fragile ego of I matter, I'm better, because everything in life is a competition. Now, the next way that someone could actually be stalking you is, and if you've ever experienced this, my heart goes out to you, is the email harassment, the direct messages, all of those ways of kind of still having control or access over you. And now, of course, we could do things like block a person. Of course, we could do things like send that email address or anything that comes to it over to another folder or spam or whatever that looks like. But even those first couple of messages before you take that immediate action, if you read that content, no matter how severe or just kind of hurtful it is, it's still something that's going to affect you. So nipping these things in the butt as soon as they happen of completely blocking someone is necessary. Any kind of a threatening, scary email can 100% cause post-traumatic stress. Now, if you read one, it's going to affect you. It's going to scare you. It's going to worry you. It's going to make you even wonder, is this person, even after you block them, is this person still harassing me? Are they still stalking me? Even though you can't see it, there's something very violating about this type of abuse. So my heart goes out to you, but just know that you're not alone. And if anything is severe, and no matter what I am talking about, whether it is social media stalking, you know, email direct messaging, flying monkeys, physical stalking, whatever, go seek help. And of course, the last way of stalking someone, and I think this is what we all typically think of when we hear the word stalking, is physical stalking. Since most narcissists have that sense of entitlement, they're going to tiptoe on what's appropriate and what they could possibly get in trouble for. And so they're going to very much go on that line between they're going too far, but they're still being abusive. And I think that's probably one of the worst things. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can find someone that like really goes to extremes and is severely harassing you and stalking you to a very dangerous level. But I do think that most narcissists will kind of just like tiptoe and be very relentless with their abuse, but they don't go so far where they could really get in trouble. And unfortunately, The laws just don't protect certain types of abusive behavior. And with that being said, this is where you yourself have to be taking care of yourself as you're going through all of this, whether it is you're going through a divorce and someone is stalking you or being relentless with their abusive behavior, whether someone is physically stalking you, whether someone is, you know, constantly around and trying to find out information on you, whatever it is that you yourself are going through. A big part of this, of course, is seeking out help when you need it, whether it's the police or etc. But a big part is really learning how to handle and manage this yourself and learn how to take care of it yourself. And that's why seeking help either from groups or friends and family or the authorities or whatever it is that you need to do for yourself is of the utmost importance. I think one of the most important things to remember from this is even if it's not severe abuse and stalking that you are receiving, you know, the reason why this is happening is because of control, because someone once had control over you and they don't any longer. Whether they ended the relationship with you or you ended it with them, they want that control back. And I think that that sense of losing control, really just a wire gets loose in that brain and it can cause someone to begin to do very erratic, unhealthy behaviors. So that about wraps it up. Thanks guys so much for all of your support. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode and I will see you next week.